Welcome back to In Good Taste. It's Kathy Macri, and I'm going to have some fun today. There's a lot of whiskey going on in this room. Davin DeCergamo is here again. You might remember him from last January. He's a certified malt maniac and a trained sommelier, and he's brought with him Dr. Don Livermore. Now, I imagine that Dr. Livermore needs, you need him here because you need help with your liver? Is this why Don's here?
What they say is the liver is evil. It must be punished. And then we drink whiskey.
That's so good. Okay, you are not an MD, Don.
No, I'm not that kind of doctor.
But you're almost a more important doctor, definitely to the people who are in town here in Victoria to attend the whiskey festival this weekend, aren't you?
Yeah, well, my mom wanted me to be a liver specialist, but I guess the whiskey industry is the next best thing, I suppose.
You are a master blender.
I am a master blender for the largest distillery in Canada.
Which is?
The J.P. Weiser's Distillery in Windsor, Ontario.
J.P. Weiser's.
Yes.
Now, you must have to take this a little bit serious.
Very seriously. Certainly so seriously that I went to school for it. I completed a Master's of Science in Brewing and Distilling at Heriot Watt University in Edinburgh, Scotland. And then I finished my Ph.D. March 2012 at the same university with brewing and distilling. Not too many master blenders in the world will have a degree such as mine.
And how many master blenders might there be in this world?
Very few in Canada. I would anticipate there's probably less than five in Canada, and certainly you'll see a lot more in Scotland, but each distillery will have their own master blender, so that kind of gives you the idea how many are in the world.
Now, when you were in high school, did your guidance counselor point you in this direction and say you could be a master distiller?
Not really. I'm from small town Ontario. You could be a farmer, maybe, but no. I was kind of inspired by a biology teacher in grade 10. It guided me along the way in biology, and that's where I decided to do my undergrad, was in microbiology. And as you know, yeast makes alcohol. That's why I got hired 19 years ago, and they promoted me along the way, and now I'm the master blender of the J.P. Weiser's Distillery.
So. I think that's so intriguing because, you know, nowadays if they're trying to make kids in school take science seriously, but if I had been in a science or a biology class of any sort in grade 11 and somebody had said to me, you know, you could be in the booze industry, I might have studied more. I might have passed that chemistry class.
I often get people come up to me and say, where'd you get a degree like that? If I would have known 15, 20 years ago, my life would have been totally different. But certainly it's a very unique degree. It's the only place in the world to get a brewing and distilling degree. And Scotland kind of makes sense that that gives you a degree like that. But I put it to good use every day.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a very highly intelligent question that I'm sure only you could answer. What is everything with the W-H-I-S-K-E-Y and the K-Y? Can't we spell whiskey one way?
I just make the juice in the bottle, quite honestly.
Okay, Don, we're going to have to defer to you.
Oh, I say I don't...
Davin, sorry.
I don't spell whiskey, I savor it.
You savor it. Good answer.
I've seen Canadian whiskey labels spell E-Y. The Scotch Whiskey Order spells whiskey W-H-I-S-K-E-Y. There are American whiskey labels spelled with just a Y. Loads of Irish whiskey, which is just whiskey without the E. I think that people make more of this than really there really is there.
I look at our founder, J.P. Weiser. His core brand way, way back when in the 1870s was Weiser's Red Letter, and he'd spell it with an E-Y if it went to the U.S., and if it went to Canada, it was a K-Y.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
We like to do things differently. But I'm pretty sure that one thing that we all can agree on is that whiskey is taken very seriously, especially over this particular weekend every January in mm-hmm. Victoria. Davin, how many years have you been to this festival?
Well, I was at the first Victoria Whiskey Festival, which was 10 years ago.
Really?
I think I've missed one or two since then. But I've been, the last 5 years, I've been here every year. And honestly, this is the best whiskey festival in Canada by a mile. It's just really, people in Victoria don't realize what a great festival they have and what great whiskey is available for them to taste. It's really, really well done.
Well, perhaps one of the reasons why that's been happening is because it sells out so quickly. They usually put tickets on sale in November, and really within hours, they're all sold out.
They're gone. Yes, there's a good whiskey culture here. in intelligent whiskey culture, real connoisseurs. I think there are three single malt clubs, for example, in Victoria.
There's three?
There are at least three.
Wow.
And people really do take it seriously. And they taste good whiskey, and they know what good whiskey tastes like.
Well, and you obviously do too, because one of the roles that you have at these whiskey festivals is as a judge.
Yes, I'm the chairman of the judges for the Canadian Whiskey Awards. I do the World Whiskey Awards, and I used to do the Malt Maniacs Awards, but since I've become professional there, I got eliminated from that jury. I really like a whiskey that is well balanced. I like a whiskey that has many flavors that work together well. I like a whiskey that has some robustness. It's interesting. Sometimes you like the whiskey because you can pick out all the individual flavors, and sometimes you like a whiskey because all the flavors are synthesized together. And so this whiskey, for example, this was our big winner last year, lot number 40. You can pick out some flowers, you can pick out some dark fruits, you can pick out some grain, loads of rye bread, you can really sum that up as lot number 40. It tastes like lot number 40, and nothing else does taste like lot number 40 or smell like that. It's a beautifully balanced whiskey. This is actually a whiskey that Don Livermore makes at the Weiser's Distillery.
Dr. Don, tell us a little bit about this lot 40.
Oh, what makes Lot 40 unique is it is a 100% rye whiskey, which is unique to Canada. Most Canadian whiskeys is made with corn, always has been. But in Canada, we spice it with the rye ingredient. Rye is the heaviest of all the spices. So this guy here is spicy, spicy, spicy. This is my ingredient that I would use in a lot of our other whiskeys. It is
As a base?
Not as a base. The corn is the base. This is the ingredient that would give it character. So what's the main ingredient of curry chicken?
The curry, not the chicken.
No, the chicken. More chicken than curry. So same thing with Canadian whiskey. We have the spice being rye, and that's how we make our whiskeys. And this is the spice of the products that we have at the J.P. Weiser's Distillery. Full, complex. It is an awesome whiskey. One of my favorite whiskeys in the world.
Okay, now I take great pride in tasting wine and often can pick out different nuances in the wine. But when it comes to something like whiskey, why do I not feel as confident, Davin, as I think I might want to be when evaluating the aromas or the taste?
Well, I think that there's one primary reason, and that is that a lot of experts have told you that there's a special way to taste whiskey and a special way to smell whiskey. What I always say to people, when you were a kid and you came home from school, you rushed in the front door. If your mother had been baking bread, could you tell? And they say yes. And I said, well, then your nose works, so you don't need me to tell you how to smell whiskey. And it's the same, you know. Can you imagine what bacon tastes like right now? Can you imagine what maple syrup? Well, you know what? That means that your mouth already works. You don't need me to tell you how to do that. And so I think that the people are intimidated. And I think that there are whiskey so-called experts out there who have intimidated people, because then you'll pay them to teach you how to taste whiskey. Oh, you'll pay $40 to go to their seminar.
Well, one thing I do that I'm not sure that is a good thing or a bad thing, but I often, you know, I try to put a couple drops in of water, and this time I put in way too much water, but it really helps me to taste it without getting so much alcohol, because I find that I can really taste the alcohol and not necessarily get the flavors. Could that be?
Well, that's another thing. Adding water they say it opens up the whiskey. There's a chemical reason or a physical reason why whiskey with a bit of water and it has more flavor, and why the flavors are more diverse. But honestly, you can dilute this whiskey down to 20% alcohol, and it's fabulous.
And Don, really I don't feel like as much of a wimp if I put some water in.
Well, when I blend and make recipes for whiskeys, I'm looking for certain things. And if I want a whiskey to be a little more fruitier in character, I will make it less in strength. If you want a whiskey to be more woody in character, I find you need to raise the strength.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So this brand here, we do use virgin oak barrels at it, which are the utmost quality barrels. So I've put this one at 43% alcohol because I wanted to enhance some of that woodier characters, which are sweet, which balances against the heavy rye spice. It's like cooking almost when you're being a blender.
But see, this is why I answered your question about what's the main ingredient, the curry or the chicken. I say it's the curry because I know that that's the key to it.
And that's why we call them rye whiskeys in Canada, because that is the key to Canadian whiskey, is the rye. And
rye.
That's why we go to the bars and we say, give me a rye and Coke. The bartender in Canada knows it to order Canadian whiskey and Coke. If you go to the U.S. and say, order me a rye and Coke, well, what's rye and Coke? They really don't understand that. That's why we call them rye whiskeys in Canada.
I grew up on the prairies. I used to drink rye in 7.
There you go. And it was meant to be Canadian whiskey in 7. Absolutely. Yes.
I haven't grown much in the whole whiskey department, but it's such a fascinating area. And like you were saying, Davin, people just love it. And it's not just for men, is it?
Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. We used to think of whiskey as a man's drink, but I'm not sure what the numbers are now. Probably 40% of the people who come to the show tonight at least will be women who will drink knowledgeably, who will enjoy their whiskey, who will taste the good stuff. Now, I think of my wife. I would kill to have a nose like hers. She really can analyze whiskey so beautifully. Even my granddaughter can analyze whiskey so beautifully. No, she doesn't drink it.
I hope your granddaughter's
not poor.
She doesn't
drink it. She doesn't drink it. But, and yeah, so, you know, I think that people used to make it a macho thing. It's not. It's a flavor thing.
Okay, well, we're going to find out a lot more about whiskey, and I want to figure out the difference between scotch and bourbon and whiskey and where it all fits together. We are going to be back in just after the news. Please stay with us. I'm here with Davin DeCergamo, a certified malt maniac and trained sommelier, and Canadian master blender Dr. Don Livermore from J.P. Wiser's. This is In Good Taste, and Kathy Macri on CFAX 1070. Welcome back to In Good Taste. I am having some fun with Dr. Don Livermore from J.P. Wiser over in Windsor, Ontario. He's a Canadian master blender and obviously not a doctor of anything that we're going to go visit him in his office. You are a microbiologist?
Originally, I was a microbiologist, and you're more than welcome to come to my office. I get a nice lineup of whiskeys in it.
I bet being called to the office is a good thing.
I think so, yes.
But you have such amazing training in this wonderful, wonderful world of whiskey. I just love it. And Davin DeCergamo is also here. He's a trained sommelier. And Davin, you have been in this whiskey world for a long time and very serious about it.
Well, I've been writing about whiskey since 1998. But before we talk about that, I'd like to tell you when I went to Dr. Don's office, he said we'd taste some whiskey. He had 40 whiskeys poured for me, and we tasted every single one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Fantastic stuff.
That sounds interesting, but it's also a lot of work, isn't it, Davin?
Oh, it's a lot of work, yeah.
It's serious work.
You know what? Being serious, yes. When we're tasting whiskey, when we're doing analytical tastings, we usually taste the whiskey 3 or 4 different times on different days. And we do a lineup of about 5 whiskeys. In the wine world, we call it a flight. And each time the whiskey is in a different flight, because you get, when you taste one whiskey, then it's like tasting wine. You taste one wine, you can it emphasizes certain characteristics of the one that follows it and so on.
Yes.
So yes, we do that, and we make our notes, and we realize that you can't get more than 3 or 4 different flavors at one sitting. If you do, then your imagination's working very well. And so we do that, and we look for things, flavor, we also look for the balance in it and so on. So yes, it is serious work. We take it seriously. We do it in a neutral environment where there aren't cooking smells around or noise or distractions and things like that. So yeah, we do take it seriously when we're tasting analytically. But frankly, my favorite thing is tasting with other people and pouring whiskey for other people and seeing other people, seeing their eyes light up. And like Dr. Don says, you can never get it wrong. If you can taste it in there, it is in there.
Well, and when we were trying this Lot 40 that Don has crafted, I asked Don on the break if I was right to get butterscotch. And Don, you said...
When I talk about whiskeys, I talk about where things come from more so than tasting notes. I'm from the analytical side, obviously. So when you said butterscotch, that comes from the barrel. If you say bananas or fruit in whiskey, that will come from yeast. So I kind of dial it into that regard and try to bring that education to people and get a truer understanding of how we do our jobs.
And you mentioned that Lot 40 has a lot of spice. So where does that spice come from?
That spice is the rye. It is the heart and soul of Canadian whiskey. Rye is the grain that grows in poor conditions, and that's how it came to Canada. A lot of the other whiskey styles around the world, for instance, like Irish whiskey, will use barley to give them character to their whiskeys, or in Scotland, they'd use peated barley. In Canada, we use rye, and it is the spice of whiskey and the heaviest of all the grains.
And that's why around the world, when a Canadian asks for a rye, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the good stuff. Now, Davin, you have brought several different whiskeys here with us, for us, and you've had the big awards this week.
Yeah, the 5th annual Canadian Whiskey Awards this week. It's very competitive. The whiskey makers all enter their best whiskeys. 9 judges taste the whiskey blind. Nobody knows what they're tasting, and this is done over a period of about 6 weeks, the tastings. We put the scores all together, we come up with some winners, and this year we had really very much a surprise. The winner this year was a 21-year-old whiskey made from 100% rye grain in Collingwood, Ontario. It's Collingwood, 21-year-old 100% rye whiskey. And this is a spectacularly wonderful whiskey, made from malted rye, by the way. It's quite complex, yet it's quite, it's synthesized into one flavor. very soft whiskey. It feels good in your mouth. It goes down as smooth as butter. It's a beautiful, beautiful whiskey. But now, I can give you, tell you what it tastes like, or you can tell me.
No, you tell me, because I am really enjoying it, and I am finding it quite smooth. I've only put a couple of drops of water in, as opposed to what I did to the poor Lot 40, so that I could work myself up to handle all these these whiskeys. But it's got a beautiful aroma.
Yeah. If you smell the Lot 40, you'll get that butterscotch that you noticed. You'll get a lot of rye, some lilacs. You get some flavors of dark fruits and things like this, and you get some rye bread in that. Now, if you smell the Collingwood, the first thing you're going to smell is like Bavarian rye bread, something like that. There are some flowers and some dark fruits in there. But this is a whiskey that really is. It's softer, it's more restrained, yet when you put this in your mouth, it's like syrup. It fills your whole mouth with these wonderful flavors. You can feel a little bit of pepper on your tongue when you taste this whiskey. It's got the spices there, like it's got some hot ginger, things like that, but you can feel the pepper on your tongue, but it doesn't burn. It just sort of excites your palate. It's a whiskey that really is truly, I think, very well made. And it breaks my heart that they only made one batch. They only made 50 barrels. 50 barrels.
50 barrels. And it's called Collingwood. Do you know if it's available here in BC?
I think there may still be a bit left in BC in some of the private liquor stores. Primarily now, it's in quite a few states in the United States. When it came out in Canada,
stop giving all our good stuff away to the Americans.
Well, they'll pay for it. The first time I've seen a whiskey feeding frenzy in Canada. When this Collingwood 21-year-old came out, the connoisseurs were going nuts trying to get their bottle. It was very difficult to find. But yes, there's still a little pockets of it here and there.
And what happened when it was announced that they won this week?
It's kind of embarrassing. CTV was there to interview the winner, and they left before.
They were out celebrating.
They were out celebrating so fast. I got so many emails. More than 100 news outlets in the States had reported it by 9 o'clock the next morning.
Wow!
It was very.
This is big news. This is serious stuff happening in Victoria. I love it.
All happening in Victoria. You're
well,
right.
Well, and Davin, you can sure see why you are good at your job. You are very passionate about your whiskey.
Well, I'm lucky that I'm doing something that I'm so passionate about.
It must be fun, Dr. Don, to have somebody like this come into your office and taste.
Absolutely. We were there all day with those 40 whiskeys lined up, Davin. It was certainly a good day. And if anyone has an opportunity to come to our J.P. Weiser's distillery in Windsor, Ontario, we like to put forward that education dynamic to our whiskey, and that's where we want to go forward and teach people about the craftsmanship of Canadian whiskey. The one thing I always say, if I was to be interviewed, such as now, Canadian whiskey to me is the most innovative whiskey category in the world. We can do lots of different things with Canadian whiskey. We can make them spicy. We can make them light. We can change the barrels. We can change distillation type. And that will give you all these different flavors that Davin's so passionate about. And that's the exciting part to me as a master blender. I get to be the artist, and I love doing that, especially for the cane. I wouldn't want to be in any other category than that.
When you get to be an artist and a scientist, how fun is that?
Yeah, both sides of the brain, I suppose.
You must be completely imbalanced.
I suppose.
You know, most people are used to the master distiller being the person who makes all the decisions. In Canada, the master blender, he's the guy. He's the guy who says what grains they're going to distill. He's the guy who says how they're going to distill it. He's the guy that says how they're going to mature it, how they're going to put it together. When Don says he's an artist, it really is a creative, artistic talent that you need to make good Canadian whiskey. So, and it was funny, I was saying to Don a little while ago, you know, isn't it funny? Here's a guy with a PhD in a technical subject who is doing, you know, he's the face of Weiser's whiskey, and he's doing such a creative job. So it's
I love it. I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's really very cool. And this is such an interesting world that many people don't know a lot about. So I really appreciate that you two would take time away from the festival and come and share it with us. But we have to tackle this very important question that is, I'm sure, on people's minds and more than just me. What is the deal? What's the difference between whiskey and scotch and bourbon? And how does it all fit together?
They're all whiskey. Bourbon is a type of whiskey that is made. It must be made in the United States. It must be matured in barrels that have never been used before, brand new virgin oak, and it must contain at least 51% corn.
Corn.
Now, of course, it's hot in Kentucky, where 95% of the bourbon comes from. They use brand new oak, so this whiskey matures very, very quickly.
So bourbon is corn.
Bourbon is a corn whiskey with rye flavoring and barley flavoring.
Okay. Thank you, Davin.
To add into that, bourbon is a very concrete definition of whiskeys, where they have to put all their grains together at the start, and then they ferment them and distill them and put them in these very specific barrels and very specific distillation type, whereas Canadian whiskey, we keep everything separate. We ferment rye separately, corn separately, wheat separately, barley separately, distill it, age it, and put it together at the end.
And then the master blending comes into play. Okay, I'm starting to get it. Okay, now you talked about Scotland earlier when we were talking about your education, Dr. Don. What the heck is Scotch then?
Scotch has to be made in Scotland. It is a whiskey. Blended Scotch in particular is similar to Canadian whiskey, where they'll ferment the grains separately. They'll ferment largely wheat separately, and then they'll ferment it, distill it, age it, and then yet they'll do a barley. And in particular, it's peated barley. That's barley that's been smoked with a low-grade coal. They dry it down, and that's why Scotch tends to be smoky in style.
Interesting.
An interesting difference between the way we make a Canadian blended whiskey and a blended Scotch is that normally in Scotland, they will use whiskey from a number of different distilleries. Normally in Canada, the individual distillery makes all the components of their whiskey. So Canadian whiskey, we call it single distillery whiskey, whereas blended Scotch is generally blended with a blend of whiskeys from many different distilleries. So you know, you think a single malt's coming from a single distillery. Most Canadian whiskeys come from a single distillery as well.
Okay, this is very fascinating. When we come back from the break, I want to be able to understand why some scotches, why some whiskeys are very reasonably priced and why others are so expensive. We are going to get the key to that from Davin de Kergamo, a certified malt maniac and trained sommelier, and of course, Dr. Don Livermore from J.P. Weiser's in London, in Windsor. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In Good Taste. It's Kathy Macri, and from J.P. Weiser's, we have Dr. Don Livermore here, who's a master blender, and we have trained sommelier and malt maniac Davin de Kergamo here, and we are having some fun. I am so thankful for the Whiskey Festival here in Victoria that brings all of you folks to town and attracts so many people who are just absolutely in love with whiskey. Now, I was mentioning before the break, I don't quite understand how it is that you can buy a whiskey or a scotch or a bourbon in such a huge price range. How does that happen?
Well, I think it's supply and demand. There's, you know, and...
Wait a minute. Is Don going to agree with that?
I agree to that with some that. But the other one, too, that is some of the quality ingredients that we use in making whiskey will affect the price. So if we use rye, rye tends to be a little more expensive than corn, so that'll up the price. Or if you use better quality or virgin oak barrels, that'll up the price. Or once used American bourbon barrels. So that will change the pricing strategy around these whiskeys as well. And certainly age will as well.
Because if you're aging a whiskey, a scotch, or even when we're talking about a wine, you're having to hang on to a product for many, many years, and that ties up a lot of cash flow in a business.
It does tie up a lot. If I could get back to supply and demand, think of a whiskey like Ardbeg. You know, they can sell it for $1,000 a bottle now, for $1,000 a bottle, just because there's everybody wants, Asia wants it all. I know when my Ardbegs hit $1,000, I opened the seal so I wouldn't be tempted to
sell it.
All of them, to sell it.
What's your address? People need to know.
I was going to rent a room at your house, Gary. Yeah.
You probably have an incredible cellar.
I have a lot of whiskey, but you know, I'm starting to pour a lot of my whiskey. I go pour whiskey at whiskey shows, and the best part about whiskey is sharing it with other people. I'm not kidding you.
You are sharing the love.
Yeah, sharing the love. Yeah, and I've got a lot of whiskey
at home. You got a lot of love to share.
Yeah, I do.
That's very fun, and I'm really enjoying tasting these with you. Now, Don, we have just poured one of your ryes. Tell us a little bit about it. What do I call it?
It's rye.
This is Canada's most popular whiskey. This is J.P. Weiser's Deluxe, and this whiskey is one of the most popular in Canada. It is a lighter style whiskey in comparison to what we've just tasted here. It is a 5 to 9 year old whiskey that I've aged in once used American bourbon barrels. And when you do that, barrels act like a sponge. What was in a barrel beforehand is going to come out into the product. When you do that, this is going to have a nice dried fruit taste. Sultanas. That is the dominant character, that because that's the type of barrel that we use into this whiskey.
There's almost a, a sweetness. When I sip this, I feel like I'm in a bakery or someplace very warm.
And that comes into the subtle rye we put into this brand. It'll give you that nice bready feeling of that, and combination of those bourbon barrels, it just brings it forward. It is a fantastic whiskey. And most of Canada would agree with you on that.
And the sweetness of it, you know, it really makes me feel like not just bread, but confections, all sorts of things.
Yeah, and then some of that stuff comes in from the whiskey barrel. Barrels will give you vanilla, caramel, toffee, and that can give you that sweet impression. Well, quality barrels tends to be more important than age itself.
And this is not a very expensive brand, is it?
No, me being from Ontario, I think it's about $25, $26 a bottle. I'm not sure what it is here in BC, but it's relatively close, I'm sure. And for the quality of it, and we did see some awards this week on this brand as well. It is very nice sipping whiskey.
Yeah, this is a beautiful whiskey. In fact, it was the best value whiskey based on price. That sold internationally. This is big in the United States, big in Canada, and this one, you know, the whiskey of the year in the value category this year. It's a wonderful whiskey, and you know, it was funny. I was tasting this again, and I was just outside. I was talking to Dr. Don, saying, you know, why? What have you done? What to make this whiskey so much better than it used to be? And he said, well, we haven't really done anything like that. And you know what I think it is? I think that's my palate is becoming more keen when it comes to the subtle flavors and the elegance of good whiskey. He said he's maybe the wood, they're using a little bit better wood, or they're managing the wood, because he's a wood scientist. they're managing the wood better. But this is just such a wonderful whiskey that the, you know, 9 judges tasting the whiskeys blind felt this was the best value whiskey in the whole batch this year.
That's fantastic. Congratulations, Don. Thank you
very
must be
much.
Proud of that.
Well, I have 350 people that work at the facility in Windsor, Ontario, that are just excited about this. I sent the email out right away afterwards, and they were very, very excited about that.
And how many bottles would you make of this?
For Weiser's family, we make 750,000 cases.
Times 12.
Times 12.
Wow.
For the Canadian market in a year.
That's a lot of whiskey. 75,000
cases. That sounds like about 900,000 bottles. Is that about right?
I don't have a calculator in front of me, so I'm not sure. I'm the guy that makes the juice in the bottle. I don't do the bottling side of it.
You don't do the math. You're not a mathematician. You're a scientist.
Don,
come on.
I'm on my fourth whiskey. I can pull numbers out of the air.
Okay, Davin, I need to know, what is the direction of the whiskey world? What's happening now, and what's going to happen in the future? What does your crystal ball say?
Well, whiskey, all categories of whiskey, is becoming more and more and more popular. Whiskey is exploding. What we're seeing with Canadian whiskey, though, is a lot more robust whiskeys coming to the fore. And we see a lot more connoisseur quality whiskeys coming out. Distillers and blenders are, at every distillery, are making whiskeys at the top end. And people are recognizing these and buying them. I think 100% rye whiskey is really becoming the big thing. We have, you know, a number of distilleries releasing it. I think in the Vanguard, we had this lot number 40. Because it's a big company, you know, Pernod Ricard, and it's right across the United States. People taste it and they like it. Now it's a pretty cool bottle, and that bottle will sell. People will buy that for that. But when they come back, they're coming back because the liquid is so good. So if we see
not
that,
not just because the label's pretty.
No, we see this calling 100% rye. Canadian Club has a 100% rye out now. This Canadian Club 100% rye is phenomenal. It's $27. For a whiskey that's made entirely from rye grain. This is for entry-level drinkers. It's bottled at 40%. So I think that that's where it's going. More robust whiskeys, bigger whiskeys. It'll switch, but people still like the subtlety, the subtle whiskeys. You think of a whiskey like Crown Royal Monarch, their 75th anniversary blend. It's a very elegant whiskey. There's nothing in there that kind of kicks you in the face, but it's just like a synthesis of so many flavors. Mm-hmm. It's really quite an interesting whiskey. So,
for me, I have to look out further than what Davin's talking about today. If I would have had that crystal ball 10 years ago, realizing that rye is as popular as it is today, I would have put more away. But at the same time, I have to think about 10 years from now, what's potentially going to be out there, whether rye will be there or some other grain or something else in the distillation process or fermentation process that people might relate to. And that's the difficult part about my job as an innovator. What do you do today to look out 10, 15 years later?
Wow. You have got a lot to think about. Now, of course, there's been a lot going on at the Hotel Grand Pacific. On Thursday, they had the Grand Whiskey and Chocolate Tasting. There's been all sorts of different tastings and seminars. And you're heading back now, Don.
Yes, I have what they call a master class of Canadian whiskey at 4:20. I believe it is sold out, but we will be discussing the history of Canadian whiskey, and we'll be going through our flights of whiskeys that we make at the J.P. Weiser's distillery.
Well, you two have been very busy, and your busyness continues. Thank you for taking time out from the Whiskey Festival to come and share some of your wisdom with us. And thank you for these fabulous tastes. I love what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.